T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Albert, who would have thunk it just 3 months ago? But here we are. Freddie Kitchens is the head coach of the Browns, and most of the fans and we are excited, optimistic. What's your thoughts on his meteoric rise to becoming head coach of the Browns?
Yeah, I love it, guys. I honestly thought, like, and look, I thought that this wasn't going to happen. Like, I thought, like, you know, because John Dorsey had really, I mean, the better part of 2 years to think about who he might want, you know, if he got another shot to be his head coach, you know, I really thought that there would have been, he would have had preconceived notions about where he was going. And I was told about a month ago that this thing with the Browns is going to be totally wide open. And they're not going to go into this with any preconceived notions. And you hear that a lot. You hear that a lot. But usually that's not really true. And I think in this case it was. You know, I think in this case it was very much, let's go into this with a clean slate. Well, and let's go through the process and let's, you know, figure out where we want to go with the team from here. And that's a credit to John Dorsey. It's a credit to Jimmy Haslam. The credit to all the guys who are involved in that process. And so I think it's a good result. Is it a swing? Yes, absolutely a swing, because he's a little younger and, you know, he hasn't been a coordinator for that long. And now you're projecting him into a really big job. But, you know, I'll just tell you this. I mean, we've seen how Freddie coaches quarterbacks now twice with Carson Palmer in Arizona, and the job he did resurrecting his career there. And then, of course, Baker this year. We've seen how he runs an offense. You got evidence of that over the last 2 months of the season. And to a man, I think everybody who's been around him and who knows him would tell you he's got the personality for the job. And so, you know, the pieces are there now, you know, and now we figure out, like, and we get to watch how he gets to put all of that together.
When do we think this was decided, Albert? Did this come down to, like, the 11th hour? You know, I thought this morning there was, like, really, really strong buzz Stefanski was going to get this job or somebody else. And yeah. And I was worried that, like, Dee Podesta was all involved. That there was the infighting between Dorsey and some folks in the front office. And then all of a sudden, bam, this comes down around noon. And I felt relieved, and I'm happy. I feel like Dorsey got his guy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would tell you this, Dustin. I mean, I know there were people on the Minnesota staff. I got a call yesterday. There were people on the Minnesota staff who thought Stefanski had it. And so, you know, that part of it, I don't think this was decided 36 hours ago, you know? And these things sometimes go that way. You know, sometimes they've got a guy from the beginning and they go after it and they land their man and that's it. And, you know, again, I think the whole idea of this was for it to go in a different direction. And so from the start, I think that was the whole idea. And, is Freddie Kitchens a little bit of a compromise? Maybe. But I would say this, like, I think one of the biggest things he had going for him was that he has been a unifying force, and he projects to be a unifying force in that building. And if you look at, like, the course of the Jimmy Haslam era, right, like going back 7 years, that's always been part of the problem, is the infighting in the organization, whether it was, you know, Hugh and Sashi the last couple of years. Before that, things weren't great between Farmer and Pettine. And before that, obviously, things blew up very, very quickly between Banner and Chud and Lombardi. And so if you want to take a step back and look at it and look at beyond just what was, you know, beyond just his ability to call plays and coach quarterbacks, what, you know, the really important piece of this was, I would say that they felt like he'd be a unifying force in the building, because everybody does like Freddie.
Albert, there was a report earlier that there was maybe some dissension, right, Florio had between the analytics people that you know, and the football people, if you will. Also, one of our hosts earlier in the day said they heard that the Browns wanted Mike McCarthy, but he wouldn't keep Freddie Kitchens. Are you buying either of those stories?
The Browns wanted Mike McCarthy? I would say no.
Okay.
I had not heard that. I will say this, like, Mike McCarthy did want things a certain way. And from what I understand, like, the biggest problem Mike McCarthy had in the end in Green Bay was about the structure of the place and the way it was set up and how that had changed. And of course, how things were with Ted Thompson before that. And so I do know that McCarthy was going to be very particular wherever he went about things being structured a certain way. As for the infighting, I hadn't heard that, but I mean, I certainly could see where, you know, there could be some friction between some holdovers and other people. And, you know, I know there have been people on the analytics side that have been involved in this,
yeah.
You know, and so I don't think that that's a big shock if you understand how Jimmy's run the team over the years. Whether it's Ken Kovacs or Paul DePodesta, I do know there was some level of involvement there.
You think Josh McDaniels blew his shot to be a head coach by what happened last year? It seems as though there was not a lot of interest this go round.
No, I don't think he blew his shot to be a head coach. I think what he did was he created a hurdle that now he's going to have to find a way to clear. And what I mean by that is, really, this is about, as much as anything else, this is about, like, finding a way to get people to trust him again. And I hope, you know, for his sake that he can see that now. And I really think there's no question about how well he can coach the quarterback position, how well he calls plays, how well he coaches offensive football. I think all of that with Josh is beyond reproach. And it goes well beyond the fact that he's been coaching the greatest quarterback of all time. He is a fantastic, fantastic football coach. The question, I think, is going to be, if I hire him, can I trust him? And I think for both Brian Gutekunst and John Dorsey, that was a significant question. Gutekunst was in a position where he was like, okay, I'm going to bring him in and I'm going to see, whereas, you know, John didn't even go that far. And so I think that that's the big thing for Josh now, is after what happened last year, it's finding a way to get people to trust him again and finding a way for people to believe that whatever it is that, you know, whatever it is that their vision for setting it up, that Josh is going to help with that rather than going off in his own direction.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback with us. Albert, Greg Williams is gone. Amos Jones, the special teams coordinator, gone. Ken Zampezi, the quarterback coach. They fired the very popular Bob Wiley, the offensive line coach. They fired the linebackers coach. The only guys that we know are keeping their jobs are Ryan Lindley, their wide receiver coach, and their defensive back coach. A couple of things on that. Ryan Lindley, Freddie brought him in when he got promoted to be the running backs coach. I would assume he'd get promoted to quarterback coach. Could they even make him the OC with Freddie calling the plays? And just generally, do you think that will be the game plan, Freddie calling the plays but hiring an OC to help him?
Yeah, I think that'll probably be the game plan. I mean, I know Freddie did a good job, over the last half of the season. I know the players felt good about it. And I know he's been, you know, planning for that for a long, long time. And so, you know, a lot of times guys get in these jobs, especially guys on offense, and, you know, they'll say, well, this is part of why you hired me, so I have to do this as part of my job. And so I would think that Freddie will call the plays. It's possible it could be structured differently, too, where you have a pass game coordinator and a run game coordinator. I do know that we've seen ex-quarterbacks sort of move up through the ranks quickly in the past, too. Kevin O'Connell, who's the pass game coordinator in Washington, I think would be a good example of that. You know, a guy who really sort of, you know, went from playing to coaching and then quickly got into a position where he was, you know, he had some power. And so, I think it'll be set up in a way where, you know, Freddie has a couple people around him he trusts on offense to sort of set things up and handle install and do some of the things that need to be done. I think ultimately he winds up calling it on game day.
Nice.
Albert Breer, MMQB, is our guest. Albert, what are some of the options you could see for the Browns when it comes to defensive coordinator?
That's a good question. I mean, I think he probably would have, you know, I mean, I think one of the things that sort of hamstrings him a little bit is, you know, Bruce Arians getting hired. Bruce Arians getting hired in Tampa. And, like, I think Todd Bowles might have been a possibility for him, and now Todd Bowles is there. So, you know, there are some names that have come off the table. He worked with James Betcher. He's now the defensive coordinator in New York. I don't know what his contractual status is, but that's another guy he's connected to. You know, there are other guys out there that are obviously, you know, have different backgrounds and everything else. Could you pry someone like, you know, say a George Edwards out of Minnesota saying you're going to give him, you know, the play calling where he doesn't call plays there, you know? I think there's a good opportunity here to think a little creatively and do things a little outside the box. I think in an ideal world, you'd have Greg Williams back. Unfortunately, you know, it's sort of hard when you make the guy the interim head coach and then you ask him if he wants to go back to being the defensive coordinator. I don't think that really would have worked, and they recognize that pretty quickly.
You think he's definitely getting another DC job somewhere?
Oh, I don't think it's definite. I will say this, though, guys. Like, it was very, very hard for him coming out of Bounty Gate, and I do think he's at least past that. But there are still some of the things about him that make it a little harder on him, and that he's very strong-willed, has his own idea how he wants to do things, almost wants to operate as the head coach of the defense when he's the defensive coordinator. But that stuff existed before Bounty Gate. That was the way he was when he was in Washington, when he was in New Orleans. And so if you're comfortable with that, I think the real progress that he's made is like that now I don't think Bounty Gate is a deterrent to hiring him anymore. I think he's finally gotten himself past that. And, you know, as long as he was with Jeff Fisher with the Rams, I think he was going to be sort of seen as a guy who, oh, yeah, well, he just went back to the guy he'd always worked with in the past. I think now that, you know, he worked under Hugh, he did a good job developing young talent, and then he did a good job as the interim head coach. I think, like, the stink of Bounty Gate is finally off of him.
Speaking of Bounty Gate, is it awkward that Sean Payton threw down $200K in front of his team today and said, go win three bleeping games and get this cash?
I didn't see that. Was that story out there?
It's been out for the last few hours, but I guess he came in with security guards and the Lombardi Trophy and $225,000 cash and said, you want this trophy and this cash?
Because that's great.
That's their bonus. That's the bonus they'd win if they win the Super Bowl.
Because it's like steps, right? Like, you so much for the divisional, so much for the championship. Yeah. I'll tell you what, like, I love their chances. I know a lot of people are out on them over the last month because of what happened at the end of the year, and they struggled a little bit. They, in 2009, did a great job of compartmentalizing a tough ending to their season. They were 13-0. They lost their last three games. Everybody was all concerned about them and everything else, and they came back and won the Super Bowl. Of all the home teams, I think I like them the most this weekend.
Who do you like? Who do you like in the rest of the games, Albert?
God, I want to pick the Colts. I really do.
I am. I'm picking them.
I almost feel like that should be a pick 'em. You know, they're more well-rounded. I think I actually may trust Frank Reich more in a late game situation. I know that sounds crazy, but I may trust Frank Reich a little bit more in the last 2 minutes of a game than I do Andy Reid. I don't think there's, I mean, is there any gap at quarterback? I mean, Mahomes is spectacular, but is he really that much better or better at all than Andrew Luck?
No.
You know,
Luck's playing so good right now.
There's so many things that are pushing me to that point where it's like, I want to pick them. And I wound up picking the Chiefs because I'm chicken bleep, you know. I did wind up picking the Cowboys over the Rams there, so there you have it. I do think that that's one where styles make fights, and I think that the Cowboys' style is going to make it very, very difficult on the Rams on Saturday night.
What about the Patriots? Dustin thinks they're going down.
Yeah,
that's another
Chargers.
One where I'm chicken bleep, guys. I don't know. I love the Chargers. I think there's like a significant talent gap. Like, I think the Chargers have more talent than the Patriots do. And I don't think it's that close. But I look at the Chargers' circumstance. It's going west to east 2 weeks in a row, two 10 o'clock body clock games in a row. It's just, I don't know. I mean, there's just something about that place. If there's a team that can do it, that team's tough as hell. But I don't know. It's the Patriots, it's January, and it's like one of those things, like, until I see them lose at Gillette Stadium in January, and they haven't lost there in the playoffs, I believe, since 2012, right? It's just hard for me to see it happen.
It's got the same feel as Clemson, Alabama this year.
That's actually a decent comparison. I mean, the thing is, I could see it being like their 2009 playoff game against the Ravens, where it got away from them early and they got blown out. Like, I don't think that it's impossible that that happens. I just think if they can hang in there for the first 5 or 10 minutes, get the Chargers thinking a little bit, it could be a tough place for the Chargers to be.
Albert, great stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.